Hello and welcome to the Bingeables podcast, a podcast for geeky TV junkies where we watch TV shows you just have to binge on. We're your hosts, Chinlin
and Asha.
Welcome, Asha, to the Bingeables podcast. Woo! This is your first ever podcast appearance.
Yeah, I'm very excited to be here. Thank you, Chinlin.
So, friends, listeners, you should be familiar with this. We always bring our fellow friends, whether they be podcast friends or real life friends, onto the Bingeables. So, Asha is no different than any other guest we've always had. So, Asha, let's get to know you before we dive into today's episode.
Sounds great.
What are some of your favorite TV shows and or movies?
I would say I do like a lot of TV shows, but my favorite is Preacher. It's based on a DC Vertigo graphic novel, and it's on AMC where it used to be. It ran for 3 seasons, and I just love it so much. My favorite movie is Sucker Punch, directed by Zack Snyder, who I know gets a lot of hate, but if you have not seen that movie, trust me and go watch it.
Okay, I have a question. The guy who is in Preacher, the main guy, Dominic Cooper. I haven't seen Preacher, but he is in another movie that I thought was very enjoyable. It's not the best movie, but it's still enjoyable. I don't remember the name of this movie, but it was about like Lincoln being like a vampire hunter or something, and Dominic Cooper was one of the main guys in that movie.
Okay, I think the movie is Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer.
Okay. Okay, yeah. It was one of those like enjoyable watches, but you know, you're watching it because it's supposed to be enjoyable, not because it's supposed to be like amazing.
Yeah, and actually Preacher's the only show I've seen him in. I actually watched it mostly for Ruth Negga, and I love her the most, and I even have a pop figure of her.
Oh, yeah. Ruth has been in...
She was in Misfits for a little bit of time, but I know you haven't seen that.
I started it. Not my thing.
Really? Okay.
I think it's because it's an older show, so one of the characters, her power, was kind of uncomfortable for me to watch.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Okay, I'm not going to spoil anything for our listeners, but want to talk about why Misfits is one of your favorite shows?
I don't really know. Like, I'm not a sucker for superhero shows or movies. Misfits is about the English or the British take on American superheroes, but I think what I like about it is more of like the realistic going ons in the show and just about everything that happens to them in their adventures. And there's just a lot of twists and turns, and it just keeps you captivated the whole time.
The guy I liked, because I only watched 2 episodes, the guy I liked was Robert Sheehan's character, because he's been in Umbrella Academy.
Yes. People loved him in Misfits. I don't want to say anymore. I don't want to spoil it, but yes, he was definitely one of our favorite characters in that show.
Got it. All right. So what are some of your hobbies outside of watching TV and movies?
Well, one of my favorite things to do is play video games, which is one reason I loved Mythic Quest so much. But aside from that, I also love gardening, hiking, traveling, and just walks with my dog.
Okay, I think our listeners should know this about you. You bought nightshade as a plant?
I did, yes. Nightshade and a few other plants that you'll see in Skyrim. And unfortunately, I guess just living where we live, it wasn't successful. I'm going to try again, but I'm not trying to kill anyone, I promise.
I only bring it up because I remember you telling me nightshade is poisonous.
Yes, yes. It's just one of those cool plants in Skyrim, and even if I didn't need them, I would always go and just pick them up every time I found them. But I guess that's just how much I love Skyrim. It just shows my love for Skyrim.
So I always do this whatcha bingin' segment. It kind of dates the podcast a little bit. The two shows I have been binging on recently, the first one is Snowpiercer Season 2. Season 2 actually came out earlier this year, but it's a show on TNT, and I don't have access to TNT. I think it's a cable network.
Okay, yeah.
So I had to wait until Season 2 was available on Hulu. And I'm not going to spoil anything, but it gets super intense. You thought Season 1 was intense. Season 2 is even more intense.
How long were you waiting for the season to come out?
Almost the whole year. Maybe like 5 months.
Wow, no, that's a long time. You're dedicated.
Well, okay, so I wasn't like I loved Season 1, but I was okay with waiting. And then the other show I was binging on is Dear White People. The fourth and final season came out on Netflix, and Dear White People is hilarious, and it keeps me woke, and I will rewatch like seasons 1 and 2. Season 3 was kind of okay, still funny, but like you're not really sure where it's going. But I think they did a really good job with wrapping up everything in season 4, and they do take more of a creative method to season 4.
Do you think you're gonna miss the show when it finally ends?
Oh, it's already over.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the final season, just with how they wrapped up everything. I don't think they're gonna have a season 5.
Okay, are you sad about that?
Actually, no. I think a lot of shows do well when they end, when they know they should end.
I agree.
Yeah, because like there's too many times where you have a lot of shows that just run on forever, and then it gets redundant, and you don't really care as much anymore.
Dexter.
I actually never watched Dexter, but I think Isaac has.
It's good at, it's not good after season 4.
Okay, I think Isaac would say it's not good after season 1. We can ask him in the break. So, Asha, what have you been binging on recently?
So, I'm going to say Misfits. I'm on season 3 right now, but I am watching it for the second time through. And it's sad. I'm watching it for my boyfriend. And, I mean, I'm happy that we started it. We just finished my favorite episode of the series. And my boyfriend was on the edge of his seat the whole time. And then the other show I'm binging right now is The Outsider, which is based on Stephen King's novel. And what's interesting about this is that it's directed by Jason Bateman, and he also stars in it for a little bit. So it's been wild. I don't know what's happening. I'm only a few episodes in, and after I go home, I'm probably gonna keep watching. But it's been a wild show so far.
The Outsider is on HBO.
Yes. And I know that it also uses some characters from Mr. Mercedes. So it sounds like in a way The Outsider and Mr. Mercedes are connected. I've never read either of the books, but great show so far.
I mean, honestly, I've never read any Stephen King books.
He might have been on coke when he wrote a bunch of his books, so they kind of drag on, but just watch the movies. That's all I can say.
Okay. All right. We are here to talk about the gaming workplace comedy Mythic Quest, brought to you by the creators and executive producers, Rob McElhenney. Am I saying that right?
Honestly, I don't know.
Rob McElhenney, Charlie Day, and Megan Gantz. So Rob and Charlie are best known for being in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. They're the main guys. Megan Gantz, I believe she wrote for Modern Family on ABC. and the show Community. I forgot which channel it first came on, but I know a lot of people watched Community when it came on.
And it's really interesting because you can tell just by the actors who are in the show. Like, you can tell, oh, these people were involved with Always Sunny and Community just because, oh, they're using the same actors. And I love that.
Okay, okay. So I've never watched It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I tried the pilot a few years ago, and it was so awkward. It doesn't age well. And I was like, oh, God, I cannot watch this. This is so awkward.
It's a funny show, but it's not for everybody. And even some of the episodes are like, okay, why did I just sit here and watch this whole episode?
Oh, God. But this is not about It's Always Sunny. Mythic Quest has been going on for 2 seasons, and it is available on Apple TV. As of this recording, we're recording a little early, but I believe so far there hasn't been any talk of a 3rd season, which I'm actually okay with.
I am too.
Hey listener, it's Chin Lin from the future. Well, the future of this recording, but technically the past of when you're hearing this episode. So, we have a minor correction here. Actually, major correction. Season 3 and 4 of Mythic Quest is actually going to be here. I don't know when, but on October 21st, Variety.com announced that there will be, in fact, a Season 3 and 4. The show was renewed at Apple. So yay, more Mythic Quest to come. But we had recorded a bit early, so we had thoughts on how we thought the show was doing pretty well with just the 2. So just so y'all know.
This is our spoiler-free preview where we have finished watching the show and we will explain why we think geeks should watch it.
Okay, so Mythic Quest, what is it about? I usually pull a official synopsis from IMDb. So IMDb says, the owner of a successful video game design company and his troubled staff struggle to keep their hit game, Mythic Quest, on top. I think it's a pretty good job. I like how they added the adjective troubled in front of staff.
I would say that's accurate, yes.
Of legendary heroes, one man will rise to take all of the credit.
This game has something that no one else will. Me.
We go to work.
This is where the magic happens.
Hey, can I get a coffee?
I'm coming, Iron!
Everybody has that game that they fell in love with because they make an impact. Those games were somebody's legacy. Well, this is my legacy.
Our legacy.
Our legacy, whatever.
It's not my legacy.
I have a BA in women's studies.
What exactly is women's studies?
It follows the experiences of women and the contributions they've made to...
Inquiry withdrawn.
Quick thing, I'm worried about the time.
Yeah, David, I'm moving as fast as I can. It's not my fault that these watermelons don't explode like real heads.
I can get you real heads. Not human.
That's commitment.
I built your vision. It's like you're this brilliant painter, and I'm your favorite brush. I'm just some tool to create your masterpiece.
I like that metaphor, but it's not quite right, is it?
Are you seriously about to noodle on my metaphor right now?
I know that I can be difficult. Papa, you can't give up.
We're like the Beatles.
Together, we make masterpieces. I could write the lyrics and the music and everything, but it would sound completely different without the drums.
Wait, I'm Ringo?
Well, yeah, of course you're Ringo. I mean, look, somebody's gotta keep the beat.
Oh my God! At least you brought me breakfast.
Oh, this is mine. It's prescription.
A prescription bagel?
Legally, you're actually not allowed to ask me about
whatever.
It.
Whatever.
And we're back. So why did we choose this show? I binged on Mythic Quest earlier this year. I don't remember when exactly, but it was right before season 2 was coming out. So I binged all of season 1 and I was just like, oh my god, this is an amazing show. And when season 2 came out, I was even more ecstatic because I could finally see more of it. But ultimately, I think that this is a show for gamers to appreciate. But even though it is set in this workplace kind of sitcom setting, it's not really about the game itself. I mean, yes, obviously the characters are working on the game and they have ideas and they're like trying to fix like issues that come up and whatnot. But I would say it's Mythic Quest is really about the dynamics of the people working on the game and how they just help each other grow as a human being. And also, Ian, the creator of Mythic Quest, is played by Rob McElhenney, and he is ridiculously hilarious, and that's all I'm going to say without spoiling anything.
Yes, I would agree with Chin Lin. The show is really about the people, and just as you progress within the series, you really get to know each of their personalities, like the good and the bad, and that is one thing I do love about the show. But I do also appreciate the video game Easter eggs and the cut scenes between each scene, and it's done so well, and it's like, oh yeah, I know who created this series. And it's also just very well acted, and you just see this really perfect balance of laughter and emotion in the show.
So when we talk in the next episode, when we actually dive into the spoilers, can you tell me what the Easter eggs were? Because most people know I'm fairly new to gaming. I guess I'm more of a casual gamer. Like, I'll play Animal Crossing and Hades on my Switch. But, like, I'm not really a PC gamer.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I remember a bunch of them off the top of my head. I would love to tell you about them more later.
Okay, awesome. And next up, we're going to talk about the main cast. So, of course, as I just mentioned, we have Rob McElhenney as Ian Grimm, who is the creative director of the game Mythic Quest. And he pronounces it Ian, and it's spelled Ian. And like I mentioned before, he's one of the main guys from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And in recent years, he was also in the Mindy Project by Mindy. What was her last name? Kaling!
Yes.
Mindy Kaling. Yeah. I liked the Mindy Project, but I never finished it. I think I remember it got canceled, but then Hulu picked it up.
I never watched it either, but I do like her.
Next, we have Charlotte Nickdow as Poppy Lee, the lead engineer of Mythic Quest. And I would say she's fairly new to acting. I haven't seen her much in anything else. She did a voice in Adventure. And next we have Charlotte Nickdow as Poppy Lee, the lead engineer of Mythic Quest. I haven't really seen Charlotte Nickdow in much, so I think she's fairly new to the acting scene. But she has voiced in Adventure Time Distant Lands as the Ancient Glass Princess. And actually, before she started her acting career, she used to teach piano to young kids. So I thought that was interesting. So I guess she's kind of musical. So who knows, maybe down the road she'll like become a popular singer or something.
I would love to see that.
Next, we have F. Murray Abraham as C.W. Longbottom, the head writer of Mythic Quest. So, F. Murray Abraham, he's been in lots of stuff. He's a very seasoned veteran actor. He is best known for the film Amadeus, because he won the Oscar for Best Actor in a Leading Role in 1985 from that film. And I guess in 2015 or 2016, he was in Wes Anderson's The Grand Budapest Hotel. And he has also voiced in How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World, and Isle of Dogs, which is another, I believe it's another Wes Anderson film.
And then next we have Danny Pudi as Brad Bakshi, who is the MQ head of monetization. Head of monetization. Say it. Monetization. I said it right the first time.
Monetization.
Thank you.
Monetization. Oh, that's five syllables.
Monetization. Let me try that again. Danny Pudi as Brad Bakshi, MQ head of monetization.
You got it.
You've seen him in Community, and he also voiced in DuckTales. And then we have Imani Hakim as Dana, who is one of the two MQ game testers. You've seen her on Everybody Hates Chris. I went through this entire series not realizing that was her until today. When I found out, I lost my mind.
So I never watched Everybody Hates Chris, but I know it was in Dallas. They were airing it on syndication, I think, on Channel 21. Channel 21 was like the channel where lots of shows from other channels were just being syndicated. So you were watching constant reruns. I remember seeing promos and commercials for Everybody Hates Chris.
Wow, you're really showing your age right now.
Hey, we're not that far apart.
I never remember watching any previews or trailers or anything like that, but I do remember just constantly. I've seen so many of the same episode, and Imani plays as Chris's sister Tanya, and she's a little baby in it, and so it's just really interesting to see her in this. And then we also have Ashley Birch as Rachel, the second MQ game tester. She was part of Critical Role, and she voiced in Steven Universe and did the English dub of Attack on Titan. You've also heard her in many video games. Some of those are Spider-Man, Miles Morales, The Last of Us Part 2, Valorant, and Borderlands 3.
Quick pause before we touch on the last actor. Have you played any of those games? Did you ever recognize her voice?
I've played a few of them, but I did not recognize her voice.
Okay. I was just curious, like, I don't know how, she's new to me, so I don't know, like, how many different types of voices she can do.
My boyfriend knew immediately who she was as soon as he saw her face, so.
Dang.
And then finally, we have David Hornsby as David, the producer. You've also seen him in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and Good Girls.
All right, and our final section is going to be our spoiler-free fun facts about the show Mythic Quest. So I did some research, and I found four fun facts that I will share with you right now. The first one is the show was first announced at the 2019 E3 Expo. So E3, for anyone outside of gaming, stands for Electronic Entertainment Expo. Wait, do they say E3 Expo or do they just say E3?
They just say E3.
Okay, my bad. The 2019 E3 by Rob McElhenney. So it was the first time that a TV series was ever shown at the event. That's which, I don't know. I thought that was cool.
I do. Yeah, no, that's interesting, actually. The lead protagonist, Ian, bears a close physical resemblance to Brandon Beck, founder of Riot Games and creator of the multiplayer fantasy game League of Legends. Huh.
Yeah, I was like, okay, that is a fun fact. Because, like, you always wonder, like, how much of this is creative license, right? And how much of it is actually biographical at some point, right?
Yeah, but I should say for the record, I'm not surprised if Brian Beck looks like that.
Oh, Brandon Beck.
Sorry, Brandon.
All right, so third fun fact. I have quotes here. I think I pulled this from an article, and that's why I have quotes.
Okay.
When Ubisoft first approached Mikkel Henny about making a show about game development, he was hesitant to take it on. He was hesitant to take on the idea. End quote. But a trip to Ubisoft's Montreal headquarters immediately changed his mind.
I would love to take a trip to Ubisoft headquarters. And then during Q4 of 2020, season 2 production was suspended 2 times due to the production members being tested positive for COVID-19.
Okay, it's not a fun fact, but it's a fact.
Do you know who the members were that tested positive?
I'm pretty sure they don't reveal that information, like who it is, but they just said like production members.
Oh, okay. It makes sense.
Yeah. But yeah, it's very interesting. So season 1 came out right before lockdown.
Yeah, and you could tell they were actually being very careful about it.
During season 2.
Yes.
Yeah. And that wraps up our... Oh, wait, sorry. Hang on. One more thing. I almost forgot. Just a quick note before you guys start watching Mythic Quest. There is a... I want to give this like a content trigger warning for season 1, episode 2 for suicidal language. Yeah, so that's it. But otherwise, this wraps up our spoiler-free episode on Mythic Quest, available on Apple TV. So stick around for our next episode where we will dive into both seasons 1 and 2.
Thanks for listening.
Bye!
Thanks for listening to the Bingeables podcast.
Leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you enjoy listening to our podcast, please consider giving us your support on Patreon for as little as $1 a month. Just visit us on patreon.com/bingeablespod. That's patreon.com/BINGEABLESPOD.
You can connect with us on Twitter at BingeablesPod, or you can email us at BingeablesPod@gmail.com.
Until next time. And the music you're listening to is Shaving Mirror by Kevin MacLeod.